Welcome back to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here with you. Since the sequencing of the human genome in 2003, scientists have the ability to identify patients' susceptibility to many types of cancer and their response to specific treatments based on their own genetic makeup. Well, joining us this morning is Dr. Ajit Gajra. He's the Associate Professor of Medicine specializing in hematology and oncology, and he's also the Director of the Hematology Oncology Fellowship Program at Upstate Medical University, and he's here to help us understand what exactly do we mean, Dr. Gajra, by personalized cancer care?
Great. So personalized cancer care is a term used to describe an ideal scenario or a utopia or a goal that we're headed towards where the therapy for each patient with cancer will be tailored to their specific individual cancer. So all patients with lung cancer that has, say, metastasized will now be offered the same treatment, the same kind of chemotherapy as we've been doing for several years. If we were to get there, or I should say when we get there, each patient's tumor characteristics will be used to determine what therapy is most suited to attack and kill their cancer. So that would be, in essence, what personalized cancer care.
So let me just get this straight so that I understand it, mm-hmm. and perhaps our listeners do. Currently, the state of affairs is more what we call targeted cancer therapy. Is there a difference there? Mm-hmm. So help us understand. Targeted means what?
Sure. So through the 90s and early part of 2000s, targeted therapy was the mantra, where what we as clinicians and scientists, the scientific and clinician community, oncologist community, thought that as long as we identify a marker on a particular tumor cell, and we have an antidote, or we have, in other words, a medication or drug that attacks that target, then we should be able to effectively get rid of the cancer. And that's how the concept of targeted therapy was born.
So the concept there then was that, in a sense, all lung cancers were the same. We just needed to identify the particular target that was common to lung cancer.
Correct.
And then direct different types of therapies to kill those cells.
Right.
But mm-hmm. let me just go back
go
and
ahead.
Ask you.
Mm-hmm.
So with personalized, this is a little different or quite different. I understand you're saying we're not quite there yet mm-hmm. in all cases, mm-hmm. but the idea being that we're looking at the genetic makeup of a particular individual and their tumor, and so it's very much unique and tied to that person's genetic makeup. Is
correct.
That correct?
Correct. So, exactly. So, there are two parts to it, really. One is the genetic makeup of the individual. And as you correctly pointed out, with the Human Genome Project now complete and the cost of sequencing, you know, actually affordable, that is a step forward. However, another specific area is the expression or the genetic constitution of any individual cancer. So if we have 100, you know, women with, say, metastatic breast cancer, who've been diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, then they can have, even though it's metastatic breast cancer, and under the microscope it may look, if not identical, quite similar, their actual genetic components will be distinct. And so each of these tumors might have varied expressions and varied drivers of what is driving the cancer. So there are really two components to it, the individual or the host and the host's genetic makeup, and it interplays with the tumor. And then the tumor itself with its various drivers, let's say, or factors or cytokines, the things that drive the tumor to grow and proliferate. And what we really hope to do is come up with a distinct treatment. So, you know, the mantra used to be a single pill for every patient. So a medication so specific that will be specific for every individual. or, you know, the term individualized medicine has also been used. However, you know, I think we're taking small steps in that direction. We're not completely there yet.
Well, how would, I guess the question here would be, how would, you know, again, theoretically, how would you go about developing a particular drug for an individual, and is that even cost effective?
Excellent, excellent question. So that's where the new big thrust is in cancer care. So let me give you an example. I treat a lot of patients with lung cancer, so we're going to use lung cancer as an example. So up until 15 years ago, we just used to divide lung cancer into two broad categories, non-small cell and small cell. And then treatments, which were mainly chemotherapy treatments, were directed against one type or the other type. Then we've known that, so I'll give you an example. So there was this medication called pemetrexed, which was, when it was first approved, it was for all non-small cells. But then along the way, we realized that it actually doesn't seem to work that well for a type of non-small cell, which is squamous cell. So when further research was done, it was actually known that squamous cells don't respond to pemetrexed. And so now we don't use it for squamous cell, but we use it for adenocarcinomas.
So you further differentiated what you could use a particular drug for.
Correct. Now, going further, what we've done is, or what research has brought us, is that there are, within adenocarcinomas, there are various mutations. So a lot of sequencing work was done on adenocarcinomas of the lung to identify what patients have what types of mutations, and broad patterns have emerged. So for instance, there are patients, you know, again, a minority of patients, unfortunately, but a group of patients, say up to even 11 to 13% of patients with adenocarcinoma of the lung who have this mutation called EGFR mutation, or epidermal growth factor receptor mutation. Why we like to find this is because we have a medication that works very well against EGFR mutation positive patients. So a lot of work was put into this. And again, this medicine called erlotinib and another medicine prior to that, when they were first used, they were used on all comers. And they didn't work always because not all patients had that mutation. But now knowing the patients who have the mutation, when we use erlotinib, we have a much higher rate of success.
So bottom line on all of this is that what they're trying to do is match a patient's tumor with a drug that specifically targets it. And they might test the tumor samples for genetic mutations that are responsible for its tumor growth, and then they match the drugs.
Precisely. And what is going on now is, now that we've discovered this, in the past, what was happening was that the development was lopsided. You come up with a new drug, and then you just test it in all sorts of folks. Now, the development is going to be more prospective. In other words, identify mutations and their attacking agents or drugs that work against those mutations.
So tailor-made.
Tailor-made ahead of time so that we're not wasting precious time. And so in the future, you know, once a patient's diagnosed, we have all that information already, what sort of mutations they harbor, and we already have a series of agents that we know work against those mutations. So
help us understand real briefly, because I don't want to run out of time. There's much I'd like to ask you about this. We have some examples of success. Can you give us a couple?
Right. So like I said, you know, erlotinib story is a little bit older. What's more recent is this, again, you know, going, building up on that story of just, say, lung cancer adenocarcinomas. It was noticed that there are some patients who seemed like they might have EGFR type mutations, but they didn't, and they did not respond to erlotinib. So when further work was done, it was discovered that they have a different type of mutation called the ALK mutation. And there was an agent which is now available for treatment of these patients with the ALK mutation.
Wow.
And, you know, again, in the North American population, unfortunately, it's, you know, only about 4 to 7% of folks. But again, so I think the point that I want the folk, you know, our listeners to know is that it isn't going to be one shoe fits all. And we have to keep slicing any particular type of cancer to identify more and more subsets. And again, even since that time, we've discovered more mutations, and drugs are in development for those specific mutations. Some of these are only seen in 1 and 2%, but that's the whole point. We don't want to lose even 1 or 2% because
of course not.
Cancer is a very heterogeneous disease, so it's not the same disease in all individuals.
So what are the barriers to success?
Right. So, you know, it all seems easy to talk about, but there are, of course, I think I would put it as, well,
is funding a big barrier?
Absolutely. So, you know, money. So cost is always an issue. A lot of research has to go into this area, you know, to come up with one viable option. Oftentimes it's said that, you know, you have to test 50 before you come up with one option that's actually useful. So, and then that kind of research needs a lot of funding. We all know that the funding atmosphere is not the best in the country right now.
Right, especially in our current state of affairs in Washington.
Correct. Right. So with the recession and everything, you know, funding has taken a big hit and unfortunately looks like it's going to decline further. Another barrier is that there is a lot of information that exists in science. So there is a lot of work that's been done already in, say, in the lab, but then bringing it to the clinic and applying it, you know, bringing it actually to the patient.
Bench to bedside kind of idea.
Absolutely. So, you know, so that interface is often lacking. So what's really important is the wedding or the partnership of scientists with the clinicians. So really a multidisciplinary approach where a scientist who's involved in drug development, or these days, you know, many large cancer centers are even starting to have, you know, departments of personalized care, where this work of identifying new mutations can go on simultaneously. And then the third is really patient confidentiality, because, you know, you're working with the genetic makeup of a patient, so you really have a lot of responsibility to protect
that's
their
really their
privacy.
Identity. That's their true. Genetic that, identity.
That's their genetic
talk
fingerprint.
Talk
yes.
about identity theft.
Right.
So how do we get there faster? I don't want to run out of
sure.
time.
Sure. So I think, investing in partnerships. Some of them have to be pharmaceutical partnerships with academic institutions. For our, and you know, really, it's got to be a team effort. So our patients have to participate in research. They have to sign up for clinical trials because we will not make progress.
Speaking of clinical trials, so what's happening right here in Central New York at Upstate?
Right.
I mean, without going through the entire
sure.
range of what's happening, just in general, how
sure.
are we participating?
Yes, so I think we're very fortunate here in that we have, you know, several multidisciplinary teams in almost all major cancer types. We're very active in our national alliance group, which is a group which sponsors clinical trials, which are sponsored by the National Cancer Institute, and a variety of trials in every disease, be it lung cancer, be it bladder cancer, prostate cancer, breast cancer, colon cancer, a variety of trials.
Are taking place currently?
Currently
at Upstate.
Absolutely.
And you're part of a larger, through the NCI, the National Cancer
a
Institute.
A larger consortium.
Mm-hmm. Of studies. So we're playing a part in all of this movement going forward.
Not only that, many of our researchers are actually instrumental in writing or developing those clinical trials. So
right.
that's, I think, critical.
You know, this is such hopeful and positive information. Cancer is so devastating, and it is kind of endemic. And all these different types of cancers, many of which are so lethal and silent. Both of so the fact that there may be some hope down the road, and especially this kind of personalized care so that people can have a more targeted approach and maybe not suffer all the side effects is very, very hopeful. I want to thank you so very much for coming in. My guest has been Dr. Ajit Gajra. He's the Associate Professor of Medicine specializing in hematology and oncology, and he's the director of the Hematology Oncology Fellowship Program at Upstate Medical University. Stay right there. We'll be right back with more HealthLink on Air right after this short break.